Hello, Stuart and Jody here. After a week away, it's good to be back with you. And let's commit this time to God in prayer. Father, I pray for those who are listening online or those who are listening on other recorded means in their homes, that you would draw near to them. Your Spirit, which is present at all times and all places, would take the words that I say and the words of Scripture and apply them to people's lives. Accept the worship and praise and the attention that we bring. In Jesus' name, Amen. Our reading is from Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 4, and it's the second creation story, so from 4 through to 25, entitled Adam and Eve. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasant to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden, and from there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is Phison, which winds the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It winds round the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see whether he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave name to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. The Lord God made a woman out of the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." Let us pray. Lord, as we reflect on this story of creation and our care and response to it, we pray that your Spirit, who created the whole cosmos in the first place, would brood over us and guide us and lead us in our thoughts, deliberations, and actions. In Jesus' name, Amen. So we're continuing this week, after a week's break, with our series on creation care. We have looked at how God loves his creation and how creation points to and reveals God. And this week we're now going to look at people's place and part in creation. So humanity's place and part in creation, drawing mainly on the second creation story that we find in Genesis chapter 2. So let's start with the creation of humanity, human beings in the story. And don't take it too literally, this story, but it speaks to us of deep metaphorical truth. In verse 7 it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So man here, or Adam, is related to Hebrew, where the Old Testament is written in, meaning the ground or the earth. So humans come from the earth. We are earthy. The word humus comes from human. So we are earthy creatures. Today we talk about us being made of stardust. I don't know how that works, but that's amazing when you think about it. It gives a new meaning when we say to someone, "You're a star." Yeah, you are all stars, all of you, all of us. And I mean it in both senses, that we are made of stardust, but we are also stars. Back to the earth element, we are made of earth or dust. Not dust in the Philip Pullman Dark Materials sense, although we quite enjoy that series, but ordinary, or rather extraordinary, dust. And this should make us humble. The word humble or humility coming from being close to the earth, to the humus. Historically speaking, since at least the Industrial Revolution, probably before, we humans have not been humble in relation to the earth or creation, but we have ravaged and exploited it for our own gain, like a thing to be used and abused and thrown away and used up. In Genesis 1 verse 28, it talks about human beings being given dominion over the creatures and over the earth. But this word dominion in our human history has not been a good thing. It's become a form of domination, and that is not what God intended. And we see the results of that today in the consequences of climate change, because we have treated God's creation with contempt and continue to do so. And we must ask, how must God feel about the way that we have treated the gift that he gave us to steward and look after? I think and sense that God must be groaning and grieving over his creation, but we'll look at that aspect a bit more next week. So as we are part of creation, made of the same stuff as creation, we also have a role within creation. And that comes out in chapter 2, verse 15, when it said, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it." So it talks here about Adam. Now, this is in the story, this comes before Eve and the rib, but I think it refers to humanity in general, in that we are called to be gardeners, to work Eden, the word Eden meaning delight, a garden of delight, and to take care of it. Now, I'm not much of a gardener. I can just about manage a bit of weeding, and I don't do that as much as I should. But we are all called to take care of God's earth. The Anglican Church has a document called the Five Marks of Mission, where it looks at different aspects of mission. And the fifth mark, the final mark, is to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and to sustain and renew the life of the earth. Bit of a mouthful, but I'll say it again. To strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. To which, as Baptists, we should be able to say, sorry, amen. Part of our mission is to care, sustain, and renew the life of the earth. In a future week, in 2 weeks' time, at the end of the series, we'll look more at the practical application of our series on creation care and what responses and actions we should take as individuals, as a church community, and as a society. But even now it is good to think about our place and part in creation. As creatures of the earth, made of dust, we need humility in our relationship and our relation to the earth. We need to treat the ground, the earth beneath our feet, with reverence, as if we were standing on holy ground like Moses before the burning bush. There's a Canadian singer-songwriter called Bruce Coburn, who's one of my favorites, and he's a Christian, and a lot of that comes out in his songs. And he has one song which I especially love called The Gift. And some of the words in that song says, "In this cold commodity culture, where you lay your money down, it's hard to even notice that all this earth is hallowed ground." We then also need to take our vocation as stewards, as gardeners and guardians of the earth, seriously before it is too late. We probably have a small window of opportunity in the next decade to make the radical changes that we need in our economy, in our consumption, and in our life patterns. But will we take this window of opportunity? Or will future generations, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, will they look back and curse us? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given this earth as a gift to us, and we are called to be your stewards, your gardeners. Help us to recognize that we ourselves are part of creation, made of the dust of the earth, and help us to walk lovingly and reverently upon the earth as we seek to safeguard its integrity and renew and sustain it for future generations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue in prayer now. Let us pray. Creator God, you called all things into being. You call all things into growth, into becoming what you mean them to be. Creator God, we pray for a vision of your world as it is meant to be, the kingdom of your love, the garden of your creation. Creator God, help us to grow, to become what you want us to be. Creator God, we pray for a vision of humankind as you meant it to be, a family living in harmony and love, brothers and sisters choosing and sharing what is good. Creator God, help us to grow, to become what you want us to be. Creator God, we pray for a vision of the church as you meant it to be, a pattern of right living for all the world, a holy people for your praise. Creator God, help us to grow, to become what you want us to be. Creator God, we pray for a vision of ourselves as you meant us to be, mature and loving Christians, obedient to your word. Creator God, help us to grow to become what you want us to be. And in a moment of quiet, let us bring our prayers to God. And we lift all these prayers and join them up with the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I'll close now with a blessing. So, deep peace of the running wave to you, deep peace of the flowing air to you, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the shining stars to you, deep peace of the gentle night to you. Moon and stars pour their healing light on you. Deep peace of Christ, of the Christ of the life of the world to you. Deep peace of Christ to you. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. Go well and God bless.